The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Right, thanks for being with us. Today, Greg Hansen, as we continue getting voices from around the Pac-12. Greg, of course, almost 40 years, the columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. On what has gone on with the Pac-12 losing USC and UCLA? Is it Armageddon time? Is it a space where the future is bleak? It's murky. It's, I don't know, there might be a path out of this. And that's where I'm leaning right now. As all these stories have come down, rather than overreact, it is the John Wooden line of be quick, but don't hurry. And that is how I see it going. And Greg's view on what is going on with the University of Arizona Wildcat Athletic Department means a lot as the lead columnist for the Daily Star for so many years. So Greg will be with us in a bit. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. Here in the summertime, I know many of you are out and checking in and checking out. So some of the things as you've been away and your travels and your destinations, you may just be getting caught up on. The biggest thing is there's two big stories, I think, that still are sitting there on the front page as we're sitting here almost in the middle of July. And that is the Pac-12 losing USC and UCLA and what happens to Arizona State and the University of Arizona. And the other one is DeAndre Ayton and his future with the Suns, and that's tied into Kevin Durant. If, in fact, the Indiana Pacers, as is being reported, do a sign and trade for DeAndre Ayton and the Suns turn around and match the sheet, that means they couldn't trade him until December 15th. To me, that means Kevin Durant's not coming here. And so now I'm starting to get the gloom and doom and the panic in the streets from Suns fans, and I think there's good reason for that, but it's July, all right? See how things look when you come to training camp. This Durant thing may drag on. And yeah, it would be a disaster to not get much back in return for DeAndre Ayton, given that it was the number one overall pick. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. It would be awful. But those are the two overarching stories that are going on here. I can start to see Cardinals opening training camp at the end of the month. I can start to see Arizona State and Arizona Pac-12 media days. We'll be later on this month, and we'll be out at those doing the show and content. Tomorrow will be a big day, I think, or a newsy day when it comes to where Arizona State and Arizona's future destination lies. Tomorrow will be the opening of Big 12 Media Days. Tomorrow, the new commissioner will be on the stage, Brett Yermark, for an hour. He's going to take questions for an hour tomorrow. This guy was hired just 2 weeks ago. And so the Big 12, looking at the Pac-12, his voice is the voice that matters over everybody else. And I can't see him saying tomorrow, yep, I am new, I am in charge, we have signed an agreement with Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. They are now joining the Big 12, and let's move on. Can't see that happening tomorrow, but there's going to be news in the news cycle on this. There just is. And we'll parse, I'll watch, I just don't think that there's going to be, you know, the overarching big final decision of where they're going to go with the conference expansion, but it certainly is an option. Behind the scenes, not much that I can tell you. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of rumor, a lot of innuendo. I think we've played out the process of what conferences look most attractive. On one hand, we've got to start doing some business of sports stuff around this story. I'm going to have Paula Bovin, the professor, on later this week. Paula's voice matters. She's been on the college football playoff committee. She was the lone woman in the room last year. Her voice matters in a big way as to how the CFP looked at the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the ACC and the Big 12, not just the SEC and all that, how they look at Notre Dame. So Paula's going to be with us, and that'll be later in the week as well. But you know, for now, those are the stories. They've been the same stories here the last few weeks. On the other side, Greg Hansen, Arizona Daily Star columnist, the view from Tucson on all of this involving the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and other options, the ACC too. Greg has been the lead columnist of the Daily Star for 38 years. That's next. All right, as promised, as we continue to go around and get reactions, I want to go to Tucson, and actually I'm going to go to Colorado because it is summertime, and Greg Hansen, who is now at 38 years as the columnist, sports columnist at the Arizona Daily Star. That is a remarkable achievement in its own right. Don't shake your head in disbelief, but He joins us via Zoom to go through, I want to go down this path of, from your view, on many, many levels. So let's just start with when you heard the news that USC and UCLA were leaving, what were your initial thoughts?
I was probably immune to it because so much has changed in college sports and pro sports over the last 15 years. And seeking the money does it surprise you anymore?
No.
Pursuing the money, even at the sake of a 100-year partnership. So I didn't like it, but I wasn't too surprised.
What was the initial feeling around Tucson and your colleagues and people, whether it's at the Daily Star, coaches, longtime boosters, their feeling on this news?
Total insecurity about the future. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can trust Oregon at all with Phil Knight there. And once if Phil Knight decides to underwrite Oregon's future, wherever it may be, I think the league would fall apart because Washington would probably join. And then you're almost at the Mountain West Conference level. To me, thank God Stanford is still there. I know they haven't been real good in, well, especially basketball, but football lately, but they're a pillar to me. And I think as long as you have Stanford, Oregon, and Washington, you got a shot.
Mm-hmm. Greg, fans of the Arizona Wildcat Athletic Department today, and I've let this settle a bit. I've been looking at it, trying to come up with, look, there is some optimism on this side. There's obviously concern and pessimism over on this side. Do you see a way out of all of this, or should Arizona athletic fans be, this is it, this is gloom and doom, this is Armageddon?
I don't think it is Armageddon because no one panicked in the last 2 weeks in the remaining conference. And, you know, it's 2 years till the media rights packages will be redone. And I think as time goes on, you realize you have more to sell than the Big 12 does. Would you want to be in a conference with Waco, Texas, and Lubbock, Texas, and Stillwater, Oklahoma? Not me. Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot to sell. It just depends to me, can you keep everybody intact, the 10 teams intact for two more years? Because, as I said, Oregon and Washington seem to be tempted because they're football brands. But the Pac-12 has a lot to sell, I think. And plus, there's so much value still in the ESPN Saturday night windows. And I know the fans don't like that, but ESPN likes it.
Right. And I guess you and I both had this same school of thought years ago. And I've read you through the years, and you had this idea in this school of thought, as have I, that why are we sitting here being beholden? This was the Larry Scott tenure, and we all know what a disaster and debacle that was. I walked through the Pac-12 offices with Larry when they first opened, and the Pac-12 Network studios, I should say, and it was just a behemoth that had, in my opinion, very little foresight. It was just like a glorified Cronkite school, to use an ASU example, of just putting kids to work and moving announcers out of game sites and putting them in boxes in San Francisco at high rent. And so that side of it never seemed to work. And I looked at the Big 12 and I saw that they had their TV agreement. And I saw that, you know, you can go to Stillwater rather than going to Pullman. And I like Pullman enough.
Yeah.
But if we're just talking from a purely financial sense, you're going to go to Pullman, Washington and be on that ESPN late night window to fill a slot.
Yeah.
Versus you're going to be on at noon on Big Fox, not Fox, not FS1, not ESPN2, but Big Fox for the whole national audience to see. What in God's green earth are we doing here? And it was met with a lot of laughs. And obviously Oklahoma is still part of the package in Texas. It's not as attractive now.
Yeah.
But it feels to me, Greg, like that is the way to go in some sense. When I see what you're saying about Waco, I would say Baylor is picked as the preseason favorite to win the Big 12 this year over Oklahoma. So there's some value there, but yes, it's a tiny dot town market. So it does nothing for TV. Nothing. I get it.
I think the Big 12 has two brands, Kansas basketball and Baylor football. Two. Does the remaining Pac-10 have more than two national brands? Oregon football, Arizona basketball. So it's about a tie.
You could make Washington yeah. football back in the day a national brand, not now.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I would like an alliance with the Big 12, but not a merger.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you meet in December with the Big 12 Pac-10 basketball tournament. You play non-conference games against Big 12 schools, and their champion meets your champion in the football playoff game, maybe linked to the football playoffs. I see a future in the Pac-10, even if they add one school, San Diego State, and then maybe, I think this has some merit to it, add Gonzaga for basketball.
And there's been that out there that, you know, the alliance, the word alliance sends chills up and down my spine because there was supposedly, up until 2 weeks ago, an alliance.
Yeah.
And the Big Ten just said, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Walk me through the ACC component on this, because I see an avenue where, okay, if you form a partnership or you merge the conferences or the word alliance, but you have in basketball, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Arizona, to your point, Gonzaga, if you add San Diego State to balance out the number. I'm not interested in UNLV, even though Vegas is a bustling market. I don't think Colorado State does enough for me to move the needle. You already have Colorado there. I don't think Wyoming does enough. I'm an old whack guy. Nothing if against going to Laramie. But the idea of the ACC trying to get out of their agreement, and in football, you would have Clemson. In a lot of these football schools, Arizona and Arizona State would have a shot. Not that they didn't against UCLA and USC, because these people saying, oh my gosh, the Trojans were, no, they haven't been great for many, many years. But the idea of ACC, walk me through that, if that does anything for you.
I just can't see Clemson and even Miami agreeing to an alliance with the Pac-10. Well, what do they gain out of it? And who can compete with Clemson anyway? Oregon? I don't think Oregon's anywhere near Clemson's level in football.
Mm-hmm.
And Clemson's other sports, who cares? But it's all about the TV revenue. And if ESPN or even CBS bites on a ACC Pac-10 partnership of some sort, you know they'll pursue it.
Right.
So it's stupid for me to sit here talking about it when the presidents like Bobby Robbins and Michael Crow are going to decide this anyway. That's what they get paid for. They're smart. I really trust Bobby Robbins. I think he's going to be at the lead of this. He's so sports centric, and Crow is, you know, he's going to be heard. Other than that, I don't know if the Pac-10 has a lot of visionary sports presidents. Patrick Chung at Washington State, I think, is as good as you get. I don't know about the new people at Oregon. So
do you agree with me or disagree with me on Washington State, Oregon State?
Yes, I know what you mean, but I like them because I've been around them for all these years.
Right, right.
I don't mind going to Corvallis. Well, I do mind going to Pullman.
Yeah.
I look at
those two. And if in fact the WAC and the Mountain West are looking at those two, does it damage the brand of the Pac-12 if they go down to Pac-8 with others that come back in? That's, I guess, the question that I would have is, if you trade out Pullman for Lubbock, if you trade out Corvallis, and I'm with you, I like Corvallis, you trade them out for Stillwater,
yeah.
But you get a better television contract, and you're not sitting there.
I would do that today. Those two trades, but I mean, Oklahoma State, they're basically on their own now. I think anything's possible with Oklahoma State. I don't see real value in TCU in Dallas. Nobody walks around wearing TCU t-shirts. Houston's to me is always a mid-major. And now the Big 12 has further been diluted by adding Central Florida and Cincinnati. Plus you got to deal with West Virginia.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being in a conference with West Virginia when you're in Phoenix? Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
The idea of Arizona and ASU splitting up and going different ways to me is ludicrous. I don't see any way that that happens with the Regents, but there are some that have thrown that out because of the brand strength of Arizona basketball. I don't buy into any of that.
To me, there are three huge events in the state every year in college sports, and that's U of A football against ASU, ASU, U of A basketball twice. Those are the three biggest events of the year. They were bigger than, to me, it was bigger than UCLA Arizona basketball. Still is, always will be. You got, if you lose that, boy, you lose so much.
But I can't see it happening in all this. There's some of that that's out there. What is the value of Arizona basketball in terms of national play in all of this? Is it just, it's a really nice brand, Brad. It's never going to be Duke, North Carolina, or, no, this is a pretty big chip in trying to realign the conference around a marquee brand.
15% of the media rights money is basketball, right? 15. So it's not very big. But I would sure love to see an Arizona-Kansas home and home every year.
Yeah.
And I just can't see that moving a needle much.
You know what? And if you have U of A Kansas in basketball, that is a national play every year that can be made, you know, going back in the day to the Big Monday type of deal. But on the other side of the coin, here's Arizona and the athletic department, from my view, that is heading in the right direction with football. I don't know if they're going to get there this year or not with anything's better than one victory, but four or five wins. I think Jed's doing a lot of very smart things that have needed to be done down there forever. I bring this up to you, Greg, on a day where Texas Tech, it's come out, they're going to put in a $200 million stadium upgrade, which will be the biggest stadium upgrade throughout there. So the arms race, this is all about TV on one hand in this discussion today and where it is. But the arms race of athletic facilities has kind of been pushed off to the side. And yet, you know, you see this story. If you're going to go into bed with a conference where one of the schools that's with you is doing that, how can you compete?
You know, Oregon State's doing a $100 million remake of Reeser Stadium this year. Be done. It won't be done this fall. That's $100 million in Corvallis compared to $200 million in Lubbock. Is that kind of stuff going to continue now? Where a football team in Lubbock can spend $200 million on a stadium that seats 52,000 and they're not in one of the main three conferences? You have to compete with that. If you're recruiting a kid thinking the facility will get him to go to Texas Tech, once he gets off the plane, I don't think the facility makes much difference because it's still Lubbock. If you've got that great facility in Norman, Oklahoma, yeah, that's going to make a difference, or Tempe. But when I read that yesterday, I just shook my head because that's the way of college sports the last 20 years. And how many more athletic directors at Texas Tech are going to have to pay off that debt service?
Sure. And are we getting to a point to play off of what you just talked about where the 18-year-old doesn't even get off the plane on a facility anymore? He's getting off the plane, or she is getting off the plane, based solely on the NIL dollars that they're being paid to go to that school. Is the facility thing going to be pushed off to the side because the NIL money is so much greater?
As well said, we don't know yet.
Right. And it's one of those unknowns. And, you know, this week, tomorrow down in at the Big 12 media days, you're going to have Brett Yermark introduced as the new commissioner of the Big 12. He can't even take over until August 1st. And he just got named the position 10 days ago, like 2 days before all this happened. And so I'm bringing this up to you from this standpoint of how do you think this plays out? This can't play out with the Big 12 in the next couple of weeks because the guy is not even in place yet. One. Two, it's the old John Wooden line, be quick, but don't hurry, right? Be quick on this. You don't need to hurry into something. I think that there's a way, Greg, to come out of this where you're going to be scathed, okay? You're going to lose the LA market and all those recruits and all those players. You can make up for it maybe with San Diego State to have a presence over there that's an hour and a half away and still convince kids to come here. But you're not. I don't think this is deadly dire to athletic departments as it's been portrayed in some circles.
You know, I agree with what you said. To me, a bigger variable that no one paid much attention to in the last few months was the Pac-12 decided to eliminate the divisions in football, just have one 12-team standing.
Right.
And to a school like Arizona and maybe ASU, suddenly you're in – if you're having a good year, you might be sixth place or fifth place instead of challenging for second, which would sell tickets. I saw it in Tucson all during the last decade. Arizona three or four times was in second. ASU won the division. That sold tickets. But suddenly, with 12 teams, now 10, there's not as much excitement because you're not a contender. And I thought that did damage before we got to see it. And we're going to see it in the future. And I mean, it, to me, it took away ticket sales to add TV eyes.
But is this a death blow to the conference?
No.
Off that?
No. And I'm sure it was driven by USC and Oregon and Washington. And that's always been the way it has been, though. And so I love the underdog stories. When ASU won the division and Arizona won the division, that were two of the most exciting years being around college sports I've ever seen. Now, are we going to see that again? I don't know.
It'll be an interesting few weeks, months to play through it. I appreciate your time and insight on the feeling and the view around the Wildcat program. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Brad. Talk to you later.
It's Greg Hansen with us. And again, 40 years he's been there with the Arizona Daily Stars, our sports columnist, coming up on that mark for him. And we're back with more after this time out.